Joshua chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Somebody said that means that faith is the certain confidence of things hoped for and certain proof of things not seen. Confidence and proof. Be that as it may, the writer of Hebrews here is telling us that our faith is going to be richly rewarded one day. We just build up our faith and keep that faith to the end. Praise the Lord. Faith does not teach us that we will be the richest person in the block like some are teaching today. Faith does tell us that we will have tribulation and we will have a cross to bear. But faith assures us of grace to bear the cross. Praise the Lord. It would be presumption to insist that God must do what we want done before it can be said that we have faith. I think God is too wise for a trap like that. Amen. He doesn't just give us what we want because we don't always know what we want. We don't even know how to pray as we ought. And so the Bible says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. It makes intercession for us according to the will of God. I think one of the things we'll be most thankful for when we get to heaven is that God didn't answer all our prayers. Because we are foolish sometimes in our requests. We don't know what's good for us. But our Heavenly Father does know what's good for us. And thank God He overrules our requests time and time again just to save us. Praise the Lord. Many Christians grow disillusioned in their Christian walk of faith because God does not conform to their will. Faith does not insist that God conform to our ideas. And a lot of people find fault with God today. If God, I prayed, somebody told me, and God didn't hear my prayer, so I just quit. I just gave up. I said, I'm not going to be a Christian. I asked God to do this for me. He didn't do it. There must not be a God. That's not the way we approach God. We come to God realizing that He is almighty, He is sovereign, He is the ruler, He is the king, He is the Lord, He is the master. And we go to Him and we humble ourselves before His will. The ultimate prayer was that example that Jesus set for us when He prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now that was Jesus Christ, the spotless, impeccably pure Son of God that prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Who are we? Who do we think we are when we say, well, I asked God to do this and He didn't do it, therefore I'm not going to believe in Him. He's given us His word right here of what has happened, what is happening, and what is going to happen. If you'll read it, you'll find out that what happened was exactly what He said would happen. What is happening, what is going on in the world today is exactly what He said would be going on in the world in 1986. And you can count on it, the future that He speaks of will come to pass exactly as He has said it. Now we just have to have faith in that word and in that God. And that's more what faith is about than this crazy idea that God must conform to my will or my ideas or I'm not going to believe in Him. It's a temptation for a Christian to reason God doesn't love me when the answer to his prayer is delayed. But there's really no reason to be tempted there. God does love you. He already proved He loves us by hanging on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth with His eyes bulging from their sockets and crying out in pain. Oh, He loves us. He loves us. You better believe He loves us. He's already proven it. He doesn't have to do one more thing to prove that He loves us. But he that spared not His own Son, how much more shall He freely give us all things? He's already given the best, so He will give us what's best for us. You see, even when Jesus offered His life on the cross, Peter and the other apostles didn't want Him to do it. They thought they knew what was best. It would be better if Jesus didn't suffer. It would be better if they didn't nail Him to the cross. It would be better if we could just keep Him here with us for the rest of our lives and for eternity. Just live right here. That's what they wanted. Peter stood before Him and tried to stop Him from going to the cross. And Jesus gave him a sharp rebuke when He said, get behind me, devil. Get behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things that be of God. And we have the same problem from time to time. We don't savor the things that be of God. We savor the things that are of men. And that's why we want our way instead of yielding to God's way. Oh, he is right and we are wrong. Let's put our trust in him so we can be right. Praise the Lord. Faith is the conviction that God knows what he's doing, even when we don't. Faith is the conviction that God knows what he's doing, even when we don't. Even when we don't know what we're doing, better yet, even when we don't know what he's doing. Faith is the conviction that God knows what he is doing, even when we don't know what he's doing. I went into the hospital, I told this before, and visited a preacher who finally was hospitalized. Like I said recently, if you've never been sick, it's kind of like the weather, just hang around, there's going to be a change. Pain will come to your body one day, unless the rapture takes place and you escape all of that. But the general rule is suffering in this life. We have been stung with the sting of death. And if you've been healthy for so many years, thank God for it. But one day, something's going to happen and you're going to die. You're going to die. Is your dad dead? Your grandfather dead? Your mother dead? Huh? Any brothers, sisters dead? Hmm? Great-grandfather's dead? Great-great... Probably nobody here has a great-great-grandfather. A great-great-great-grandfather? Nobody. Nobody. Our former pastor, founding pastor's dead. And we're going to die. It's coming. It's coming. But faith is the conviction that God knows what he's doing even when we don't. And I went into the hospital to visit this man, and he was so embarrassed. He was ashamed. He said, I must have lost the faith. And I said to him, no, you didn't lose your faith. You lost your health. You know? You just lost your health, maybe only temporarily at that. But people think sometimes if everything doesn't go their way, that they have lost the faith. I visited another man from, I think it was Chittak in the hospital. He had been dramatically healed, and he wrote a lengthy gospel tract of his testimony of healing. And then he got sick, and they had to amputate a leg. And I went in to see him, and he wept. This full-grown, mature man, older than myself, was laying there weeping, and he couldn't understand. Here he'd walked with God all these years, and now God had forsaken him. No, God hadn't forsaken him. Jesus walked with God. Did God forsake Jesus? David walked with God. Did God forsake David? You're walking with God. Has God ever forsaken you? No. We feel that way sometimes, but we've got to know the truth. We've got to have faith in the Word of God that what he says is true. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And here's another little favorite statement of mine. I must have read it somewhere. I don't know who I'd be plagiarizing if I claimed it for my own, but somebody said, I think it was probably Matthew Henry, you can be at your wit's end without being at your faith's end. You can be at your wit's end without being at your faith's end. Webster says that faith means unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Faith is unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Now that's a pretty good definition of the word faith. Listen to it again. Unquestioning belief. Yes, Lord. Unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. And so that fits in with Hebrews 11:1, doesn't it? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've got the substance. We've got the evidence all in one little capsule. Faith. Faith. Praise the Lord. We have faith. Substance, the Greek word, to stand under, that which stands under a foundation, number 5287. And Vine's Greek word study, you have a copy, says confidence, assurance. But that which stands under a foundation, evidence is proof, it's conviction. Faith is convinced of future good. This is by Edwards here, or Edward Fudge. We all had that book. Faith is convinced of future good because it knows that the good for which it hopes already exists invisibly in God. And that is so very, very true. Praise the Lord. It already exists in God. The more you believe this, the better you will serve God. We're so careful to work out our own future. And as a result, we become so careless with the Word of God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you ever get worried about your future income, your retirement plan, which you don't have or do have, or the meager aspect of it, just remember, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you won't have to worry about tomorrow. You put God first. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? It means to study this book to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You look in here and you will find what God tells you to do in this book. If you're not tithing, you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. If you are not giving alms, you are not seeking first the kingdom of God. If you are not giving offerings, you are not seeking first the kingdom of God. If you are not coming out from among them and being separate from the world, you are not seeking first the kingdom of God. If you love the world and the things that are in the world, you are not seeking first the kingdom of God. Study the scripture. Find out what the word of God says about life and living, and then do what it says, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God. The reason that people worry, the reason that people are getting ulcers, the reason that people are so concerned and scared half out of their wits concerning the future is because they don't know the word of God. And if they do know it intellectually, they have never received it by faith and believed it with all their heart and dared to put their trust in it. You can put your confidence in this book, in this Word of God. Praise the Lord. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. People have said to me, I can't believe in God simply by faith. I must have proof for what I believe. I must be able to understand what I believe. I have to see first before I can believe. And I've said before, the world says, show me and I'll believe. God says, believe and I'll show you. Now there's a vast difference between those two attitudes there. The world says, if you show me, I'll believe. That's King Herod's attitude. He heard about Jesus and the miracles that he had performed. And he was looking for an opportunity to meet up with this man. And finally it happened one day when Pilate and Herod were both at Jerusalem at the same time. And Jesus, sure, bring him in. I've always wanted to see him. Come on, Jesus, perform a miracle for me. As if Jesus was an exhibitionist or something and he was going to do that. Jesus wouldn't do it. He just stood there as a lamb before his shearers was dumb. He opened not his mouth. And of course that must have exasperated King Herod, and he dismissed Jesus after mocking him and his men of war mocking him. But anyway, King Herod's attitude was, show me and I'll believe. The thief on the cross attitude was, show me and I'll believe. The people around the cross, below the cross, had the same attitude. He saved others, himself he cannot save. Come down from the cross and we will believe you, they said. Come on, unhook yourself from those nails in your hands and feet. Come down from the cross and we'll believe you. The world says, show me and I'll believe. But God says, you believe and I'll show you. And I love his wisdom. He just does not open the door. He does not show you until you believe. I think that is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. If you want to grow deeper in the Lord, you're going to have faith. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to say, the Word of God says so, I believe it. And all of a sudden, woo, the door opens. Praise the Lord. You believe it. So, God says, believe and I'll show you. Somebody said, have you ever seen electricity? No. Yet you use it? Yes. Well, but I understand electricity. I know the formulas. Electricity works according to theory. Application brings results. And of course, we answer that right. And I understand God's formulas. And I understand God's principles. And they work. And application brings results. How many found that true? When you apply the Word of God, it really works. Praise the Lord. And I'll guarantee you, if you recognize yourself as a sinner and repent of your sins, give up your sins, and sincerely, humbly ask God's forgiveness and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and become a new creature in Christ. There's no doubt about it. It cannot be broken. It's Scripture. It's the Holy Bible. It is always men that are wrong, never God. Never God. Let God be true and the nicest person on earth a liar. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. God is never wrong. God is never dishonest. Men are wrong. Men are dishonest. We'll stand on the Word of God. We're talking about faith this morning, true faith. Praise the Lord. Our faith has to be in a God that is never wrong. I said last night at prayer meeting, I can make something that God can't make. I can make a mistake. God can't make a mistake. Praise the Lord. Amen. I can do something God can't do. I can lie. The Bible says God cannot lie. Praise the Lord. Does that make me bigger than God? No. It makes me a fellow worm with you. Amen. I like John Newton's language. Hello, fellow worms. Praise the Lord. We are fallen humanity. We are sinners. One man said, faith is a plunge into the dark. I answered, no. Faith is a plunge into the light. Jesus is the light of the world, and until a man has Jesus, he is in the dark. And when you talk to people and they sound so intelligent and they go against the scripture, you're talking to a man that's in the dark. It's like talking to a blind man in a room full of light. Well, can't you see that? No, he can't see it, and he'll argue with you, it's not there. Well, don't argue with me, it's not here. I can see the piano, I can see the organ, I can see the microphone, I can see this other microphone, I can see this is yellow, a little yellow basket here, I can see the switch on this microphone, I can see all the chairs out there, I can see the different colored neckties and dresses out here. I can see all that, but I got a blind man standing beside me and he says, I can't see it, it's not there, I don't believe it. That's how stupid these unbelievers are. They are so blind they can't see you. And we are stupid when we say, oh, maybe that chair isn't there. Oh, maybe that microphone, because you don't see it and you have so much wisdom, you don't see that microphone. Maybe it isn't there. Feels like a microphone. I can see the color of it, I can see the stand, the wire coming out the end, but well, maybe it, wouldn't I be ignorant? Wouldn't I be foolish? Wouldn't I be stupid to say that that microphone doesn't exist because somebody else doesn't see it? Well, just because there's a bunch of atheists out there that are trying to infiltrate their doctrine into our public school system and now into our churches, does that mean that I'm supposed to agree with them and say, oh, maybe there isn't a God? Listen, I know there's a God. I have had an experience with Him. He lives in my heart. Praise the Lord. I have evidence. I have substance. I have proof. And just because some unbeliever can't see the proof or hear or understand the proof doesn't mean that it isn't there. I've got it, whether he has it or not. And if the majority of the world were blind and the minority could see, does that make the majority right? No. They still can't see. They're still blind. They're in darkness. Amen. Amen. And until a man has Jesus, he is in the dark. So faith is a plunge out of the dark, not into the dark like they try to tell you. Faith declares that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. He will not let you down. I like that faith and patience of Job. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now that is some faith. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Praise the Lord. Many people don't know what faith really is. They think if you're healed, you have faith. They think if you're rich, you have faith. They think if you're successful, you have faith. They think if you are always delivered from trouble, that's faith. But you can take a look at the life of Paul, where Paul died in prison. And I told the story how he was jailed at Philippi and how an earthquake from God released him from prison, and how people must have mocked because he wrote to the Philippians about that very thing. And now he's in a prison at Rome, and there's no earthquake setting him free, and he's beheaded by Emperor Nero, most likely. And the last words that he said was, "I have kept the faith." Sounds great. Sounds victorious. Dying in prison, in a dungeon. Bring my cloak. Bring the books. Bring especially the parchments, you know. Pretty lonely. Yet he said, "I have kept the faith." Praise the Lord. We have to understand what faith really is. But when Paul said, "I kept the faith," some people might think Paul never had a bad day in his entire life because he said he kept the faith. Faith may cost you your blood. Faith may cost you your life. And it did cost the lives of many who would not give up the faith. They kept the faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's a good thing that we have a record of Paul's life, or we might have been deceived as to what faith really is. But we've got the record of Paul's life. And if you want to read some of those records, read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18, right on through chapter 12, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 11, 18 through 12, verse 10. And you'll see what this man meant and who this man was that said, what this man has been through that said, "I have kept the faith." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Paul writes both powerfully and pathetically from prison. You can read 2 Timothy 4 and you get things like this. In verse 6, "The time of my departure is at hand." Verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Verse 10, "Demas hath forsaken me." Verse 11, "Only Luke is with me." Verse 13, "The cloak that I left at Troas bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much harm, of whom be thou aware also." Verse 16, "All men forsook me." Verse 19, "Salute Onesiphorus." Verse 20, "Trophimus have I left at Miletum, sick." Verse 7, "I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith." You put all that together and you're starting to learn what faith really is. Praise the Lord. And read the whole book of the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 at one sitting and find out how that they escaped the edge of the sword and then others were sawn asunder. Put it all together, you find out that there's more to faith than one side. Praise the Lord. Faith is more than just believing God for things that I want so I can have my way and do what I want to do. See the big I in there? Faith is more than just believing God for things that I want so I can have my way and do what I want to do with my life. The Bible is a book that tells us what God wants. And faith is what is given to us by God so we can do what God wants us to do. Let me run that by again. I think that's an excellent statement the Lord gave me there. The Bible is a book that tells us what God wants from us. And faith is what is given to us by God so we can do what God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be baptized in Jesus' name, so he gives us faith. He wants us to receive the Holy Ghost, so he gives us faith. But we have got to build up that faith and believe God. God is not a liar. If he said it, he'll do it. And I'll more quickly believe that you and I are the liars than I'll ever believe that God's a liar. "Well, Brother Tamler, the Bible says this, and I did it, and it doesn't work." Liar. That's a lie. "I did what the Bible says, and it doesn't work." You're lying. If you do what the Bible says in the Spirit, the Bible says for us to do it with the attitude the Bible tells us to do it with, you'll find out that it will work, because God cannot lie, and the Scripture cannot be broken. Oh, we got to get our minds cleansed and our hearts pure before the Lord and get our attitudes right. We've got to love him. Yes. Understand him. Put him first. Praise the Lord. So the Bible tells us what God wants. Faith gives us the ability to do it. Praise the Lord. God commands overcome evil with good. You just try that in your flesh. You know what you do when somebody hits you? You hit them back. Most people do. But when God comes into your heart and life, then you return good for evil. And that comes through faith. 1 John 5:4, here is how we overcome. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. James said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I contend that faith produces good works. Faith produces good works. Hebrews 11:3, Hebrews 11:2, for by it the elders obtained a good report, and we'll get those reports later on in the book. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I've said this before, let me repeat myself. This verse is a crash course, along with Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. This is a crash course on creationism. I love this crash course on creationism. God said that he created the worlds. Man, blind man, man in total utter darkness says, he did not. We did. They don't know what they mean. There is in such darkness, they don't even know where to start. Like the lady, the geology teacher that came into my former place of employment, and I got to witnessing to her, and she said, well, sir, I believe in God and evolution. And I said, you do not. It is impossible to believe in God and evolution. She got mad, and I got glad. Because when you start speaking that word of faith, it just puts a smile on your face. And I think that's how the martyrs died. They died with that joy of the Holy Ghost comforting them and blessing them. And if there's ever a time you're ready to die, it's when you're expressing that faith. Praise the Lord. Here is the faith and patience of the saints, the book of Revelation says. Amen. So she said she believed in God and evolution. And I just rebuked her. Said, you do not believe in God and evolution. It's impossible to believe in God and evolution. If you believe in God, you believe in creation. Because the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Doesn't that settle it? If you're in the light, it settles it. If you're in darkness, you're unsettled anyway. This world is in darkness today. They think they are so smart. They think they know it all. And God says they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Books and books piled upon books. Libraries all over the country. Experts talking, experts being quoted. This doctor said this. This one says that. And then you read this one says, no, it happened about so many million years ago. And this one says, no, and he gives another million figure. They don't agree among themselves, but all the prophets agreed. The Bible says, and to this do all the prophets agree. The apostles agreed with the prophets. Jesus agrees with the apostles. Jesus agrees with the apostles. And so the church is not built on universities headed and taught by men. Huh? The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Let me tell you who's going to emerge victorious one day. Not the educators without God. Not the evolutionists. The church. The church. The apple of his eye. His chosen people. They're going to rule and reign with him. Praise the Lord. And we've all got some things to make right, haven't we, around here. What's the first thing you would do if you were governor of Wisconsin? We could finish the time talking about what we do. Praise the Lord. So the crash course on creationism. Through faith we guess. Through faith we understand. When you have real, genuine, active faith, God-given faith, you will understand. And you won't need to listen to any blind man or anybody in a dark room. You will not need to hear them. You will understand. And you have got to do this. Are you still in the balance? Are you still wondering if there really is a God? Do you know people can have the Holy Ghost and wonder that? Because of the influence exerted upon them by this unbelieving, sad to say, influential world. That's right. I know people that have been baptized right and have received the Holy Ghost and have spoken in other tongues, and they have come to a place in their lives where they wondered about the existence of God. You know why? They came under the influence of the unbelieving world too strongly, rather than keeping their nose in the Scripture and their knees on the floor and their eyes heavenward. Amen. And so I love this little capsulated crash course here on creationism. Through faith, we understand. We understand. Hey, we are not at the mercy of anybody out there. Saints of God, I don't care if you're 6th grade, 8th grade educated. If you've got faith, you've got it over them. Through faith, we understand. But meet Dr. So-and-so. He'll put you down. He won't put me down. They took my wife and I before the tribunal. They took my wife and I before their educated children who had oh, this man boasted that his son had 8 years of education beyond college, I believe it was, and he would put us down. We were such strong creationists. He'll put you in your place. Well, we went to the home, and they brought in all their unbelieving forces against us, and my wife and I just sat there. The conversation was opened, and they were going to try to destroy our faith. Well, let me tell you something. You don't destroy our faith. You don't destroy my faith. My faith is settled. It's established. Praise the Lord. And so before it was over, guess what? People were crying. People were shaking. People were saying, I don't know what that presence is in this room. I don't know what's happening to me. I have never done this before. Who do you think went away the victory? Jesus. You know where Jesus was? In my heart. Amen. My wife's heart. I don't say that to boast of myself or my faith. I say that to boast of my God and His Word. And I boast of my God and I boast in His Word. Praise the Lord. If we'll just put our confidence and our trust in Him, through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. And if you're reading books and you are reading books on evolution and you are reading the newspaper articles that say, scientists discover or expert has new theory and so on, go ahead and read it, but it ought to build your faith as it increases your anger against the unbelief of the world. Not the world, the unbelief. Oh, I'm so glad. I am so glad for what we have in the Bible, in the Lord. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And doesn't it break your heart when so-called Christian churches give up their faith and start arguing with the Bible? I went to a funeral one time, and I heard a local minister here, the dad of a good friend of mine, 80-some years old, and this man stood up there, this pastor stood up there, and he berated God, he belittled God, he was shaking his fist at God at the funeral, in the funeral home. And he wrote a poem against God. We don't understand, God, why you have to treat us this way. We don't understand, God, why you supposedly give us life and then take it away from us. And it was nasty. It was downright disrespectful. Mean. And that was years ago. What's going on today? I need to circulate out there some more and find out what's going on today. Keep my anger up. Well, you better keep your anger up against unbelief. Amen. You better declare war against unbelief and put on your battle garments, take up that sword and go after that unbelief. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, this verse eliminates the need for a course in evolution. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I hear somebody cry, that's a cop-out. You Christians are too lazy to study. That's why you claim Hebrews 11:3. You're too passive to want to learn. You Christians are a bunch of dummies. I just write down things on my paper here that people have said to me. They told me I was copping out, and they told me that I was too lazy to study all those things. And I told you about the guy that gave me the book, you know, the big, thick, small print book, paperback book, oh, about that thick, and asked me to read it, sent it home with me. I took it home, brought it back the next day, and he said, you done reading that, and you're a fast reader? Wow, comprehend what you read there, you know? He said, how'd you like it? Well, what I did when I took the book home was I started reading, and after I woke up, I turned to the middle of the book and read a little more, and when I woke up the next time, you know what I mean? Boring, dead, dry, nothing, empty. Then I read part of the last chapter of the book, and I decided I'm going to take this back to Big Bill. So I took it back to Big Bill, who was a psychology major, and he said, how'd you like the book? I said, did you read the book and so on? I answered all his questions. I said, no, there's nothing in there. The guy doesn't say anything. There's no story. There's no nothing. It's empty. But look at all those words, you know. And he tried to convince me that it's intelligent to be able to write that many pages without saying anything. He did. He tried to. No. That is so foolish. Waste your time. See how. How cunning a man is, you know, that he can write a big book without saying anything. Well, God is just the opposite. He wrote a big book, but he said something. Amen. He said an awful lot. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But my answer is, it's the evolutionists who are copping out. Just like they accuse us Christians. You put your children in a Christian school. You're protecting your children. Well, I like to ask them, do you wear clothes in the winter? They say, well, certainly. I said, well, you're protecting yourself. You shouldn't protect yourself. Well, certainly we protect our children. But I said, if you want to know the truth, you are the ones that are protecting your children from hearing us preach this glorious gospel. They accuse us of protecting our children. You better believe we protect our children. We're protecting them from their poison, but they're protecting their children from our truth by trying to take God and the Bible out of the schools and out of the textbooks. Did you hear that this morning? Well, I hope we have a... Hey, and I want to say something in closing here this morning. Just because you have your children in a Christian school, or just because Pentecostal Assembly has a Christian school, does not mean that we are not interested in what's going on in the public school system. I am still paying taxes to support that business, and I'd like to know how my business is going. If somebody said to me, well, what do you care what we do in the public schools? Your kids are in the Christian school. I'd say, I'm paying for that, and I've got just as much right as anybody else to know what's going on there and to do something about it. Praise the Lord. We need to pray for our public school system, for our Christian schools. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the pastors all around the world that they'll wake up. Wake up and see how the devil is deceiving. But anyway, they say we that we're copping out, that we're too lazy to study, we're too passive to want to learn, and we're a bunch of dummies. That's what they say. Of course, my answer is it's the evolutionists who are copping out. They're too lazy to study the scriptures, and they're too passive to learn of Jesus. Turn it around. Don't sit there and be a dummy. Turn it around. Praise the Lord. We are right. Is that arrogant? Is it arrogant to say Jesus is right? If that's arrogant, then I'm arrogant, because Jesus is right. And if I say what he says, I must be right. If he said, except to repent, you shall all likewise perish, I go out in the street and preach, except to repent, you shall all likewise perish, and they say, you're wrong. Man is basically good, like they teach in the world. And we will put you in jail if you teach your children that they are sinners. That's child abuse in the eyes of this world today. That's their accusations against us, trying to close us down. Is it arrogant to say that Jesus is right? No, it's not arrogant to say Jesus is right. Faith says he's right. We know. Praise the Lord. Is it arrogant to impose our faith on other people? No, we are commanded to do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the, you know, they say, well, you believe what you want to believe, but just leave us alone. Well, we can't leave you alone, because we have a mandate, we have a command from God to go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. Well, you can't do that to us. Yes, we can, because we have faith and we know in whom we believe, and we know who created you. The very God that told us to go into all the world created you. He's sovereign. He's over all. He's God over all, blessed forever, the Bible says. Don't let this world back you in a corner. Don't let this world fool you. They are wrong. God is right. Read the Bible. Stick to the Bible. Be nice. Be kind. Don't ever be nasty, cruel, mean. Never, never be mouthy, sassy, disrespectful. Never, never do that. I'm talking to grown-up Christians, I hope. This is the adult. How many adults do we have here? This is the adult Sunday school class. I'm talking to big people. We should know how to handle ourselves publicly like that. But we also ought to know that we're not letting anybody back us into a corner, our faith into a corner. We have answers. In fact, we're the only people on earth that have the true answers. Let's not boast in ourselves. Let's boast in God and his Bible. Praise the Lord. Can we stand and wave our Bibles before the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.